Last week, we watched as Christ walked to the edge of Jerusalem. He looked at the city and wept because of their unbelief. I showed you that what affected Christ the most and made him weep was the fact that he knew his people had missed their time of visitation and their eyes were now closed. One of the scariest things I can think of as a pastor is knowing that the Holy Spirit of God will come and visit you at least one time in your life. And one of my favorite scriptures you hear me over and over and over and over again quote is Romans chapter 1, verse 20, God reveals himself through his creation. We are without excuse. God reveals himself on a day-to-day basis. All we have to do is look at the sky, look at the sun, look at the moon, look at ourselves in the mirror and see the wonder and awe of God. He reveals himself through his creation. He reveals himself to us every single day. And the sad reality is there are people who can see God and turn their back on God and say, not now. And they've missed their time of visitation. That's so scary to me. That's so sad to me. How in the world can you see the hand of God reaching out to you in a loving way, not deserving that God could do that or would do that, and still turn your back on God? But church, it happens every day. Church, I believe Jesus weeps when he looks at some of us. Yes, you who sit here in this church, in this congregation, and go through the motions of religion, but have no relationship. He weeps when he knows the Holy Spirit of God has visited you, and you, just like the religious Jews, have no time for Jesus, and you will not accept him today. Church, we've explored the sad truth of those who have missed their time of visitation. But let me ask you this morning, what happens when a person does accept Christ as their personal Savior? Last week, we explored the gloom and doom, a time of just sadness. I can't think of anything. Can anybody think of anything just more sad than thinking of the Lord and Savior weeping? I can't. We're going to explore the other side of that this morning. The title of the message this morning is, What Happens, or When All Heaven Rejoices, When One Comes to Christ. Look with me at Luke 15. And I've used this scripture before, but not in this way. Luke chapter 15, in verse 3. Luke 15, 3. And he, being Jesus, spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Rejoicing. Church, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over the sinner that repenteth, more than the other 99 just persons which need no repentance. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you and we praise you. God, I pray that you would just be with us right now. Just settle our spirits. Lord, shake us and wake us. Help us, Lord, to be attentive to who you are and what you want us to be this morning. Lord, help us to hear a word from you, Lord God. We need to be better as we walk through those doors. For all you've done for us, God, we need to be greater and better servants for you as we walk out in our mission fields. So, Lord, be with us now. Be with that one who knows they're lost in this service. They know they're lost. God, I pray that they'll just perk their ears up and be attentive to your word. In Christ's name we do pray. And all God's children said, Amen. What is it exactly that Luke 15 teaches us? Well, the first thing is this. Church, it teaches us that there are lost people in this world. There always have been until the millennial reign of Christ. There always will be lost people on this earth. Every person in this service this morning knows friends, family members, neighbors who are lost. Their actions show you that they are lost. But worse than that, if you ask them, they'll tell you themselves, I'm lost. I've got family members. I'll try to talk to them. And listen to me, please don't beat your family members over the head with your Bible and tell them they're going to hell. That's the worst thing that you could do for and to them. I have an uncle who is He's of a different faith, and he'll just walk in and tell you, you're going to hell. We don't have the ability to tell anybody they're going to hell. Now, we do have the ability to pray that they stay out of hell. Amen? But this morning, as we look at chapter 15, one of the first things we see is there are lost people on this earth. There always have been, there always will be until the millennial reign of Christ. What does this scripture give us hope? As we look at the totality of this scripture, we have to see a little bit of hope, a glimmer of hope for the lost people. Right now, if you're in this service and you're lost, you're still breathing. And I don't know if that, you know, excites your family members or anybody around you, but what that means, what this scripture tells us, is you still have a chance. You still have a chance. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to walk down that road. You still have a chance, unless what is taking place in your life is the same thing we talked about last week. You've missed your time of visitation. I've heard story after story of old-time evangelists who have preached the gospel, and they've gone to people and they've said, you know, are you saved? And they said, no. Well, why don't you accept Christ as your personal Savior? I can't. Well, why can't you? Well, the Holy Spirit of God dealt with me years ago, and I've tried. I just can't. I can't accept Jesus as my personal Savior. Why, church? Because they've missed their time of visitation. Now, that's sad, and that's hard for us to grasp, and that's hard for us to understand. But listen to me. As I've told you so many times before, the Holy Spirit of God is not, He doesn't have to come to you more than one time in your life and shake you and love you and tell you that you're lost. He doesn't have to. He is not obligated to you to that effect. I believe He does. Why? You can't look at the love of God and try to understand the love of God and say the Holy Spirit, well, He's only going to come once. You better not miss Him. I believe He comes many times in our lives. Most of the time, I believe we have our eyes closed and we will not see. I imagine when we stand before God and He looks at us and we're reviewing our lives, He's going to stop tape many times and He's going to say, right there, son, is when you should have accepted me. The Holy Spirit of God was all around you. You felt the presence of God like you've never felt in all your life, and you rejected me then. Boy, your life would have been a whole lot better from that point on had you accepted me then. I gave you an opportunity. And then He's going to roll the tape a little bit longer, and He's going to take us through our teenagers' years, and He's going to stop and He's going to say, son, right there is when you should have accepted me. Look, the Holy Spirit of God is all around you. Had you accepted from that point on, your life would have been a whole lot easier. Church, I believe that we can look at this scripture this morning and praise God, knowing that our lost family members, our friends, our neighbors, they still have hope. They still have hope because they still have life and they still have breath in them. We need to pray for them. We need to love them to Jesus. I heard of an evangelist years ago. His wife, before he was saved, she would go, she'd do anything she could. She would put tracks in his gym bag. She'd put tracks in his cars. She'd write scripture down and post it on his window. He was even taking a shower one morning, Keith, and she went in there and she wrote on the mirror. You know how the mirror steams up? She wrote on the mirror, Jesus loves you, honey, but He's going to get you. Hey, that's love. We say that we've got the love of God in us. Hey, listen, we need to take extraordinary measures that our lost family, friends, loved ones, neighbors, co-workers don't die and go to hell. We need to love them to Jesus. Amen? There's still hope this morning. This scripture tells us this. Because this scripture we just read tells us that the lost are being pursued, which they are, they're being pursued, or at least have been pursued. Church, that ought to excite us. God loves the lost so much that He chases after them, looking for them, pursuing them to come to the truth of the gospel. Now, I want you to think back with me here for a second. Now, what I said here and what this scripture tells us is when there's a lost person, God pursues them. There were things in my life before I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. Now, at that point, I couldn't see clearly, Stanley. But as I look back now, I mean, they say hindsight is 20/20. I don't know what that means wearing these glasses, I'm telling you. But as I look back before Christ saved me, before I gave in to Him, There were so many times in my life that God was revealing Himself to me, and there were unexplained events that took place in my life. I couldn't explain it. I tried to explain it away. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But it was God. It was God trying to get my attention and say, look, boy, that's, you know, because I am, you need to wake up. There was a time, church, that your pastor, and I'm ashamed to say this, but I'm going to tell you, this is one of the days, this is the day that I should have accepted Christ. This is the day that I should have run to the church, fallen on my face before God. I didn't even know anything at all about church, but I should have. I was at a party on a Friday night. And I had too much to drink, and a buddy of mine said, hey, let's go to my house. There's nothing here to eat. Let's go to my house, get something to eat, and we'll come back. I didn't need to be flushing the commode, church. I really didn't. I was in bad shape. But I said, sure, let's go. So we go to his house, we get something to eat. We drive back to where we were, and as we're driving, there's a stop sign at an intersection, and I didn't see the stop sign. I didn't see it. Keith, I drove right through it. My car was in a ditch, and you know, in my stupor, I'll just leave it here in the morning. I'll come back and I'll get it, and everything will be fine. I don't have the ability to push it out. I'll push it out. So I go back and I go to sleep, and next morning I wake up and I'm like, okay, where's my car? Oh gosh, it's on the side of the road in that ditch. Gary, I go back to that ditch and it's not a ditch. Brother Frank, it's not a ditch. It is overhanging a cliff, I mean a drop-off, like a 15-foot straight-down drop-off. I should have been dead right then. I should have, Bradley, run to somebody. I should have called my grandmother and said, listen, tell me what I need to do to accept Christ as my personal Savior, because He's rattled me, He's got my attention, I'm ready to go right now. I'm not playing with God anymore. I believe, church, that every lost person, when they stand before God, sinner and saint alike, God is going to say, listen, all those unexplained events that took place in your life, listen, that was me trying to get your attention. Why wouldn't you wake up? You didn't have to go to hell. Jesus Christ has never, God has never, and never will ever send anybody to hell. If you go to hell, it's your own fault. It's your own fault. You will go kicking and screaming from the presence of God into an eternal damnation. But you cannot blame God. You will not blame my Jesus. He's done everything He possibly could to get your attention. Why won't you wake up and accept Him? Why do you keep holding on and clinging on and waiting just one more time? I'm going to wait just a little longer. I'm going to wait a little longer. Why? Why the wait? This scripture also tells us that when the lost are found, when the lost are found, when I was found, that Christ picks us up and carries us home. Church, when the lost man accepts Christ, Christ picks us up, carries us home, puts us on the path that we should have always been on, and church, it gets better. His Holy Spirit leads us and guides us down the path for the rest of our lives. The rest of our lives, the Holy Spirit of God leads us. Now, church, let me. Does this mean that from now on, from this point on, everything is going to be easy? Nothing is ever going to ever go wrong ever again? That we're going to live the life of bliss? No. But can I tell you? Can I tell you all my problems are easier since I accepted Christ as my personal Savior? They are. Brother Kyle, do you still have problems? Yeah. Christian, any Christian in here, y'all have problems? Please raise your hand. I don't know what you do. Can I tell you what I do? When I have a problem, Miss Cynthia, that's overwhelming me, that I can't handle, you know what I do? I do this crazy thing, Mr. White. I get on my knees and say, Lord Jesus, I'm yours and you're mine. Scripture says I'm an heir to the kingdom of God. And I'm so thankful for that, Lord. I know that you know this because you're in yesterday, today, and tomorrow, but Lord, you know I've got a problem and I can't handle it. Will you take this problem from me? Will you take it? You see, a lost person can't do that because he has no communication with Christ. But a saved person can. My life is it just wonderful bliss? Not all the time. But my problems, Donna, are nowhere close to what they used to be. Why? Because I have a Father that loves me. I have a Father who takes care of me. I have a Father who's interested in me every single day. Look at what else happens when a lost person comes to Christ. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 tells us this. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Church, remember last week when we pondered over the thought of Christ looking at our lost condition, knowing you have resisted the drawing of the Holy Spirit and missed out on your day of visitation, we saw that Jesus weeps. Jesus weeps. I believe that every lost person, that last time the Holy Spirit comes and knocks on your door, when you turn the Holy Spirit away, I believe Jesus weeps. I believe it just breaks the heart of God knowing that you've pushed Him away the last time. But this morning, not when a lost person accepts Christ. Christ doesn't weep when a lost person accepts Him. This scripture tells us that all of heaven rejoices. Church, do you realize that when you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, all heaven rejoiced? Now, I'm going to do a little Matthew Henry. I'm going to stretch this out a little bit. I'm going to give you what my interpretation of this is because I believe that it's important for us to understand. When you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, said all heaven rejoiced. Listen, Brother Bob, that means that all heaven had to know that you were saved, right? All of heaven. Greek term for all is all. Everybody. Everybody knew. So when you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, this is what happened. Somebody got on the loudspeaker. Y'all remember in school back in the third grade? Y'all older people. We were sitting in a homeroom, and they'd hit that loudspeaker on. You could hear it tuning up. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember? And then they'd hit that button, and you could hear the button being clicked, and you knew somebody was getting ready to come on the loudspeaker giving announcements. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And they'd give those wonderful announcements. There is no more chocolate ice cream in the supply room. You're going to have to get vanilla. I know, it's terrible. But when a lost person accepts Christ, I believe they crank that sound system up, Mr. Taylor, and they get it, and everybody kind of perks their ears up. They can hear it, the button's being clicked, and they hear the button for the microphone being clicked, and they hear that name being announced to all heaven who has just accepted Christ as their personal Savior, and they all rejoice. All rejoice. I wonder who was in heaven. I just, for the life of me, I wonder who was in heaven who got excited when they heard my name. There was a dear lady who lived across the street from me when I was a small child. She loved me, and I loved her. Oh, gosh, I loved her. She would leave her back door open, Keith, and I didn't know this. She'd leave her back door open so I could run in and get candy out of her candy dish downstairs. And she was praying for me. She was praying for me. I didn't know she had cancer. I didn't even know what cancer was. I was too young to know anything about anything. At that point, I probably thought everybody lived forever. But I noticed one day that a lot of stuff was on the curb. I mean, a lot of stuff. And I said, Mom, what's going on? And she said, well, she died. And the husband, in his grief, he just took all the stuff, just about everything out of the house, and he piled it up on the curb. You know, I really believe, church, I really believe, on January the 19th, of 1989, when all heaven was rejoicing and praising God, and all of a sudden they heard the microphone click on, and everybody knew there was an announcement was getting ready to be made. And when whoever it is that announces it, announced, attention, Anthony Kyle Waddell of 1029 Bounty Lane, TKK, South Carolina, accepted Christ as his personal Savior. I know that she rejoiced. I know that she rejoiced. Who is waiting in heaven to hear your name? Who is waiting in heaven to hear your name? You know, I believe that every time the sound system in heaven is clicked on, people are saying, I wonder. I wonder if today will be the day. If I'll hear this person's name, or this person's name, or this person's name, or this person's name. Who is waiting to hear your name? Who's waiting this morning? Church, why is it? Why is it that all heaven is rejoicing over just one lost sinner coming to Christ? Flip with me real quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm just about done. Why is it, church, that all heaven is rejoicing over one lost sinner coming to Christ? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Very familiar scripture. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Church, this is why there's rejoicing taking place in heaven. Hey, heaven rejoices because the lost man is now a new man, a new creature. Church, there are people in heaven who know the old Kyle Wydell, but now they have just heard that there is a new Kyle. When I accepted Christ, I know there was a great celebration in heaven. We do this, and I'm glad that we clap when people are baptized. Amen, amen. Boy, we're going to be in sad shape when we first get to heaven. We're going to have to go through new members class or something. Self-awareness, self-adjustment. I mean, they might give us a seatbelt for the first 6 months we're in heaven because we're just not going to be used to everything that's going to be taking place. I mean, the joy and the excitement. Y'all who sing, hallelujah, anyhow. There's a special room up there for y'all, I believe. For the first 6 months, y'all are just going to, it's the pep room. It's the excitement room. It's to get you in tune and get you excited about what's taking place in heaven. I don't know. What I just said is not scriptural. I don't know that to be the case. I really don't. But church, this morning, we need to understand, heaven rejoices because they know the old man is gone and the new man remains. This scripture tells us that all things become new. Church, don't you remember what the world looked like right before you accepted Christ as your personal Savior? Don't you remember? I had no hope. Everything just seemed dirty. Everything just seemed, what's the use? You know, Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, everything is futile. Futile. Why? What is the point? That was me. That was me. It just didn't seem to have a rhyme or reason why things were taking place. Church, when I finally accepted Christ, heaven rejoices for us. And verse 18 tells us yet another reason why. Look at verse 18. Oh, let me switch and flick back. Verse 18. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Church, when we finally accept Christ, we finally get it. We finally truly understand what verse 18 tells us. All things are of God. When we understand that all things are of God, listen, I don't know what it does for you, but it cleans everything up. This world looks a whole lot better when I understand that all things are from God, Glenn. Everything is for God. Everything is about God. I just wonder what would happen, Miss Susan, if the church finally understood that this life isn't about us, it's about God. It's not about us. It's about God. It's not about what we can get, it's about what we can give. Amen? Church, when we accept Christ, we finally get it. When we finally truly understand what verse 18 tells us about God being over all things and God being the reason for all things, we finally realize that this joy is not about us. This life is not about us. It's not for us. It is all about God, and heaven erupts and with great joy. Church, now we can experience the joy. And we can give joyous jubilation. But who is it all for? It's for God. What do we deserve? Nothing. But He gives it to us anyway. Let me ask you. Have you accepted Christ as your personal Savior yet? Have you? Who in heaven is waiting for you to accept Christ? Who is hoping? Who on their dying deathbed, their last prayer to God was, will you, Lord, please reach down and save my loved one? Who's waiting on you this morning in heaven? Who's waiting to hear your name called out? What are you waiting for? Do you realize that your decision today is causing either heartache or joy for my Jesus? Heartache or joy? Church, let the saints of God right now pray that someone who is lost in this service will make all heaven erupt and praise today as they accept Christ as their personal Savior. Now, right here in a second, I'm going to pray. And Pat's going to come and play the music. And we're going to have what's called an invitation. And the invitation is for you. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, the invitation is for you. All you have to do is just walk down. Let me show you what Scripture says. It won't take long. Nobody's going to look at you and point and laugh. Listen, it's not going to happen. The Holy Spirit of God is going to help you take that first step if you're lost. But when you finally accept Christ, when you come down here and you accept Christ, you pray to receive Christ, I don't have a clue what's going to take place in heaven. Scripture tells us, but I've never experienced it. You know, I hear people make this comment from time to time. I hope I make it until Christ returns. I don't know, Brother Tony. I don't know. Hey, listen, that sounds like it's a pretty good thing going on. Doesn't it? I want to experience that. Now, I don't want to get on the busload today if I don't have to. I mean, I will. I'm ready. But I kind of want to experience that. I want to see that, Keith. I think I want to be in heaven for a few weeks, few months, few years of this loudspeaker kicking on and rejoicing when one lost sinner comes to Christ. I want to experience that, Gary. It's got to be phenomenal. You know, we can make heaven erupt right here this morning. We can. If you're here this morning and you know you're lost, don't wait any longer. Listen, this church will erupt with praise to God, but all heaven will erupt. Don't wait any longer. I promise you don't know what you're missing. Don't wait. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would move right now. Be with that person who is clinging. It's just holding, won't come. God, I pray that you would just touch their heart. Let them finally see that there is a difference. There is a tremendous difference in a person's life when they come to know you. God, they might be a good person right now. They might not be a liar, a cheat, a thief like I was. God, they might be a good person. But when you save them, you make them a great person. They still need you. Lord, help them to make that first step right now. To come and accept you as their personal Savior. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?